It's our culture. It's different culture of Brazil have many cultures. In South Brazil, our culture is German and Italian. German, you know, the foods, the different places in Brazil. It's, for Brazilian, it's so different. Maybe here is not, but for Brazilian, wow, where is it, you know? And another culture, Italian, a lot of foods, good foods. Pasta, pizza. And a building, rock building. And the gauchos, traditional.
So back before the Germans and Italians came, the gaucho culture, that comes from the Portuguese who mixed with the Indians. And the gauchos are especially known for the traditional clothing that they wear, for the large cattle ranches, and for drinking chimarrão, the tea. Sorry, Pastor, we're not going to pass this around today. But you guys have probably seen this. You pour the hot water in, and then you drink through the straw. And after the first person's done, you add more hot water and pass it to the next person. And so we always tell people that you have to drink a lot of chimarrão to become friends with the gauchos. So the gauchos are a very closed people compared to the rest of Brazil.
It, drink and same straw.
Yeah, same straw, of course.
People said the hot water kill the germs. We hope.
And so it's really fun, you know, to see the people passing this around even during church services. And if you want to get in on it, just make sure you're sitting next to the owner and you'll be part of the circle there. So again, the gauchos are known for grilling meat for their churrasco. And we just love the culture down there. So it's different from the rest of Brazil, but we love the people there. They're a harder people to reach than other parts of Brazil. So Fabio has been in South Brazil since 2008. He went down as a single missionary and worked in the cities of Campo Bom, Sapiranga, and Estância Velha. So the Estância Velha church is where John and Daniel planted that, and so Fabio was part of the team there as well. And today we're in the city of São Leopoldo, so it's still in the same valley, the same region. And Pastor Matt was asking me about the Estância Velha church that John and Daniel helped begin. And they are without a pastor. They have been for several years. They do not have the finances to support a full-time pastor. And so we have been helping out. Our membership is there, actually. And so the city where we're working now, we're about 25 minutes away from them. And so every month we go for one Sunday and Fabio preaches. And also when they have couples meetings, couples dinners, about twice a year, Fabio gives the studies for that. And when they have men's and women's meetings on a monthly basis, we're usually the ones to go, and he gives the study to the men and me to the women. But we love that church, and just pray for them that they would be able to grow more, that more people would come, that they would be able to support a full-time pastor. There's a single guy, you know, who's a missionary. He's doing the preaching for the most part. And we help out, you know, once or twice a month when we can. But it's a wonderful church, and just pray that they would be able to grow and call a pastor. And, so he's going to preach in the morning service. And so I end up talking more during the presentation to, you know, spare him.
He's so bad.
So just for time's sake, because of the language, you know. So so we're in the city of São Leopoldo now, 230,000 people. So it is a metropolitan area. And this is a university city, a large private university, but between 20 and 30,000 students. And we're church planting there. And so the Lagos Baptist Church plant, this is part of the group that comes to our services. We always have unbelievers present in our services. So we don't have a formal membership yet. We're still a small group. The pandemic was tough for us. You know, we've had a larger group before, 25 to 30 people, and then some people move away. Some students graduate from college and move on, but we're working there, and the Lord is blessing. We're really excited with things that happened over the past year. So we just want to share a little bit with you about what we do to teach God's word, to evangelize the lost, and to disciple the believers there. So to teach God's word, we have Sunday services in our home. They've been in our home for the past 2 years.
Sorry,
guys. Gotta go forward. And so after the pandemic, when we had to meet online for a long time because of city ordinances, we decided that the best place for the services would be in our home. We had more space, and we needed, you know, an extra room for the kids' classes. And so sometimes being a missionary means spending all Sunday afternoon cleaning your house and getting ready for a Bible study at night. And so that's our living room and dining room. Every week we were moving the couch out of the way, and then we finally decided, you know what, we'll just move it permanently. But we do, you know, move the table every week. And this is a challenge, but we praise the Lord that our home has been able to be used this way. And so you can just see some pictures there of our Sunday evening services, and it's getting full. Praise the Lord. So we would love to have the problem of really running out of space. And so we'll share more about that later. A lot of neighborhood kids started coming. And so if it's cold, if it's winter, we meet in an upstairs bedroom. If it's summer, if it's warm enough, we meet out in our garage that's open. And the kids started coming because of a kids' Bible club we were able to start last year. And so in January, especially, they were on their summer break. And so they just started coming on Sunday nights. And because our kids' Bible club is only once a week, you know, they come by during the week. Chia, yeah, a chia is, you know, aunt, teacher. When's the next Bible club? Oh, well, it's not till next month, but we meet on Sunday nights. You can come for kids' class on Sunday nights. And so a lot of them started coming. And we haven't even met most of the parents of these kids, but they come. And we didn't have anybody to take over that kids' class when we were going to come to the States. We came in February. We're here for 5 months. And there wasn't anybody to teach them. And the last Sunday we were there before we traveled, a couple came. They were visiting from a church half hour away. And Fabio, you know, just gave the announcement. He said, we're not going to have kids' classes while we're traveling because there's nobody to teach the kids. And this couple, they said, we'll teach them. And so every Sunday they're driving, you know, half hour to come and teach the kids in our church. And so we're very thankful for Cassio and Clarissa. And these two boys, Misha and Brian, they trusted Christ as their Savior just a couple months ago with them. And so these are two boys that are fruit, you know, from our kids' Bible club that we had last year. And Cassio was so excited the night that they got saved. It was already midnight in Brazil, but he called us and he said, I don't think I'm going to be able to sleep tonight. So it was probably the first people that he's ever led to the Lord. And we're just thrilled. We're thrilled to see this couple serving and to have, you know, to just see some fruit from our labors from the kids' club last year. And so we're just in a neighborhood with a lot of homes around us, a lot of people, dozens and dozens and dozens of families. And so we're thrilled with the possibilities that we'll have to reach the families of these kids. So to disciple the believers, whenever we're able to, we do personal Bible studies. So I did it with these two ladies, Magda and Magali. Fabio has done discipleship studies with Carlos and Thomas. Because it's a metropolitan area, a lot of people work far away. And so he usually meets online with these guys because they get home late from work. But we're thrilled with the growth that they've shown. Being a missionary, you know, anything that a pastor does, anything that is part of normal church life, a missionary usually does. And so doing premarital counseling with people, Sabrina was saved in the first work that we were involved in Campo Bom. And she married Will. They live in a city about half hour away from us. But every time we see them, they're just like, we're so thankful for those studies we had. And possibly very similar to here in the States, there's a lot of broken homes in Brazil. A lot of people don't get married anymore. And so anything that we can do in that sense of teaching people about, you know, biblical roles of man and women and what a family looks like, we love doing that. Part of discipling the believers is also doing training. So we love to do teacher training. Last year, we were able to do it with people from four area churches. We had 12 to 14 people participate in that. So we did that together with Katie. I don't know if any of you know Katie Smith. Okay. So Katie got half the classes. We got half the classes. And we met over three different Saturdays to teach these believers from four area churches. And that was just a joy to us because it is so difficult when people get saved and they start, you know, coming to church. It's so hard to get them to realize that church is more than just clocking in with God, you know, one time a week, and that you can actually serve and you can actually get involved in something more. And so some of these people have been believers. They've been in church for, you know, 15 or more years, and they've just never gotten involved in teaching. And so it was just a thrill for us to see more people being being equipped to serve in that way, especially working with children. And so we're just very thankful for the teacher training we had. And to evangelize the lost there in our work in São Leopoldo, one of the main things that we're doing now is the Kids Bible Club. So similar to an Awana, we were only able to do it one Saturday a month, but we have, you know, song time, Bible story, teach them a Bible verse, game time. And we can only do it one Saturday a month because, we'll be honest, we just can't handle more than that. You know, we're serving by ourselves there, and we have other activities on other Saturdays, and because the church already meets in our home on Sundays, one Saturday is what we were able to do.
Kids, what does this story?
What Bible story?
Yeah.
What Bible story were we teaching there? Very good. Exactly. So we did a life-size Goliath there. And we even made a sling. We got a sling and a pouch out of leather, so to teach the kids. Game time in our yard. And again, we were just thrilled with the number of kids who came. It's been very difficult for us to get kids' works off in the other churches where we worked. But because in our neighborhood, we live right around, it's where people live. And so these kids, they come walking on their own from the two or three blocks around us, most of them. And
it's a wonderful time for teach the God's words for kids and introduce us to the families, kids, and a wonderful time for our group service too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so to train our people to work with the kids. And these two, Michelle is one who got saved just a couple months ago, and Penelope also made a decision for Christ last year. And so, again, we just praise the Lord for this, and just pray for the follow-up with these children, with their families, and that we would be able to take that up again when we get back. The Kids Club is not happening while we're here. Another activity we have to evangelize the lost is Logos Jogos. It's a game night in our home, and our target group here is the university students. And so we have a special ministry to the university students. There is a single missionary named Erin who works with us, and she runs a cafe right across from the student center. Erin's the one in the blue shirt there on the left. And so she runs a cafe right across from the university where the students can go and get free coffee, free tea. They can buy, you know, a cookie or a brownie or a sandwich at a very low cost. There's board games there. They can get free Wi-Fi and just practice their English. And so we started having game nights in our home once a month, teach them board games, card games. And most of university students these days, most young people, possibly very similar to, you know, metropolitan areas here in the States, they would never step foot in a church. Many of them do not believe in God. They've been hurt by supposedly, you know, Christian family members in the past, and they don't want anything to do with God. And so they wouldn't accept an invitation to go to a church, but they'll accept an invitation to come to a game night in our home. And so we get to know them through the hangout ministry, through the cafe ministry. And
I have a strategy.
Yeah, Fabio's strategy.
So?
Well, everybody has their mouths full eating pizza. He shares the gospel. So he does. He shares, you know, 5 to 10 minutes, some challenge from the scriptures while everyone is eating pizza.
And the people?
Mm. Yeah. We have a captive audience. So.
It's good because some people there never go into the church and don't want to go to the church. This time it's time for share the gospel and introduce it. The gospel, the church, you know?
Yeah, so show them that we're a normal family, and at the same time, we're not normal, you know? Like, we're different than a lot of broken families, broken homes that they know. And so a lot of these people, this is like our Samaria. These people are very different from us, okay? Just imagine, like, woke culture, everything that comes with that. A lot of these kids, they're just extremely different, belief system and everything. And so it's a challenge to talk with them, to get to know them, and open our home to them. But we're thrilled with the fruit we've seen from this. And evangelize the lost, neighbors, you know, personal contacts, Bible studies. So just a few pictures here. So pray for salvation.
Yeah, we have two different groups. Smart people, university, have a lot of
knowledge,
you know, and simple people, normal people. don't understand.
Normal people, just the people who live around us, you know.
And we need a different strategy para poder alcançá-los.
Different approaches, you know. So the university students, they are a different group, okay? They're like follow the science. They're very, very smart, very intelligent. And so here are just a few of the people that we work with. Our list of, you know, evangelistic contacts is huge, but these are a few that we've had closer contact with. So there where it says pray for salvation, our neighbors, Daniel and Grazi, very worldly family. And they just need the Lord. But they did come to several of our services last year. That was a Easter breakfast that we had in our home. And just pray for their salvation. Below them, there's a picture of me doing English classes with one of their daughters, Dominiki. And Domi is 13 years old. She's in seventh grade. She came to some of our kids' Bible club last year, and then she felt she was too old for it. But she loves English, and so I'm like, hey, you want English classes? Okay, this is an open door to, you know, just keep having contact with her. And English classes become questions, and you can get into a lot of different subjects. And in talking with her, I mean, seventh grade, 13 years old, you would just never believe what these kids get in school, what they've already seen at the very, very young age that they are. And you realize that if you don't get them when they're young, you probably won't have a chance later after they've been through everything that the world has to offer them. So we're still praying for Domi's salvation and for the parents. The two guys on the other side there, Charles up on top, he's a university student, studies psychology, and he actually follows an Eastern religion called Mahikari, which is a spin-off of Buddhism that believes in many messiahs, reincarnation, a lot of different things. But he started coming to the hangout, the cafe. He started coming to game nights in our home, and he accepted to do a Bible study with us. And he had attended evangelical churches for years as a kid and as a teenager, and he did not know the basics. He did not know where to find a Bible verse. We would, you know, quote a basic Bible verse to him. He had no idea. So after going through the book More Than a Carpenter with him, you know, that presents Jesus as the only Messiah, and we looked up every single Bible passage that the book referenced, he you know, said, wow, this is the first time I'm really understanding the scriptures, and he was really enjoying it. But he has no intent of becoming saved, you know, of converting to Christ. And he says that openly, but he keeps coming back for more studies. So pray for Charles. And George down...
Every week we study.
And George there, George is also a university student, computer sciences. He's a spiritist, so spiritists also believe in reincarnation, basically salvation through good works. And he's been coming to our services faithfully. He's more faithful than some of the believers for 6 years. And you say, George, what's lacking for you to believe in Christ? And he says, more data. But he knows the Bible. And, you know, Fabio's preaching, and he's like, the Jews, why didn't they see that Jesus was the Messiah? And Fabio's like, yeah, George. That's just like us, you know?
Somos piores.
He's like, we're worse than them because we have a lot more information than they had, you know? So just pray for these guys. Salvation really is of the Holy Spirit, you know? So some people just don't believe when you say that you've had somebody coming to your studies faithfully for, you know, 5 or 6 years and they haven't gotten saved. And they're like, are you really preaching the gospel? And it's like, yes. but, you know, we're eager to see more fruit from our labor. So just pray for the salvation of these and many other people who have come and who have heard. So we joke that if all of our evangelistic contacts would get saved, we'd have a church boom. You know, wouldn't that be great?
Sometimes when I prepare the message in Portuguese, I talk to Joiana. Joiana, maybe... eu vou ser duro aqui, melhor devagar, né?
I'm going to be really hard here. This is a tough passage. Maybe I should go more slowly.
No. I preach. But George can't.
Yeah.
Pray for, yeah. For George.
All right. And this is Camille, also a university student. And so we actually have her testimony on video to share with you. So she was reached through the Hangout Ministry. She started going to the Hangout. And so watch her video here.
Hi. My name is Camille. I am 27 years old. When I was 9 years old, my parents separated, and my brother and I started to have a life that we were not expecting. At the time, my mother
maybe need to start again
every
maybe?
6 months or every year to a different city. And every time she moved, she found a different boyfriend. And I was responsible for my brother. So I ended up sort of being my brother's mother. This responsibility,
my name is Camille, was very hard for me. I felt the sadness of lonely.
And if it doesn't work, you know, that's okay. I can give a...
Yeah.
And if it doesn't work, I can give a...
I am 27 years old. When I was 9 years old, my parents separated, and my brother and I started to have a life that we were not expecting. At the time, my mother started to move every 6 months or every year to a different city. And every time she moved, she found a different boyfriend. And I was responsible for my brother. So I ended up sort of being my brother's mother. This responsibility was very hard for me. I felt the sadness of loneliness, anger, and being angry with my mother. I found myself seeking relationships to fill this void, to fill this sadness. When I was in college, a friend introduced me to the Hangout, a place for us to come and have a snack during class breaks. I start to feel affection, and I start using the Hangout as a refuge to not be at home. While I was going to the Hangout, I was in a complicated relationship because it was a relationship of refuge again, trying to fulfill something that could not be fulfilled by a person. But the Hangout became so good for me. Erin became a wonderful person to me. In addition to Erin, Carol was also a person that God sent for my life. They were introduced me to God in an easygoing way, without telling me I was forced to go to church. They were showing me the difference that God could be bring to my life. When they start talking to me, I start showing a desire to get to know the church. So one day, I decided that I wanted to start participating in Logos Church. I start to transform. I start putting anger aside, and I realized that my sadness could be filled. One day, Pastor Fabio was preaching about sin, the results of sin, and about all the sadness. I realized that what I need was Christ in my life. I decide to convert to Christ and accept Christ as my Savior. Besides having left solitude, anger, and sadness aside, I learned to serve God. Now, my mom has shown interest in coming to church. My brother, who did not want us talking about God, now accepts it. I have learned to be thankful instead of just complaining. This is my life with God.
You can see there her mom, who came to several services last year, her brother, who's come to some game nights, and we're just praying that the Lord would work in their hearts. They really need the Lord. but we're so thankful for Camille. We talk to her almost every week. And so just, okay, We're going to have a few stories here, but follow the train of thought. If we could get the PowerPoint back there. So right after Camille trusted Christ as her Savior, she moved away. She moved to the city of Sapiranga, about 45 minutes away from us. And we were like, oh, you know, you work so hard for someone to get saved, and then they're not going to be a part of your church. but we were glad that the city that she moved to, Sapiranga, is a city where we had worked before. Like at the very beginning of our marriage, we had done Bible studies there for 2 years, that then that work got turned over to colleagues of ours, Mark and Jess Stuckey, and it is a church now. They have their own building and everything. And so we were able to plug Camille into the church there in Sapiranga. And so when Camille was baptized, it was actually a baptism of the church in Sapiranga, and they invited Fabi to do it because she had, you know, gotten saved with us. And so you can see Neuza there standing behind Camille. So at Camille's baptism afterwards, this gal Neuza comes up and talks to Fabio, and she says, Pastor Fabio, do you remember when you used to give those Bible studies in Sapiranga at, you know, Milton and Liani's house, you know, many, many years ago? And there's Milton and Liani, and there's some of the first Bible studies in their home. And Fabio said, yeah, of course I remember. And she said, do you remember the night I got saved? And Fabio said, well, yeah, I do. And it was very different because it was the first time Neuza had ever gone to a church event. It was the first Bible study she went to. And when he was done, you know, preaching, she raised her hand and said, yes, she wanted to accept that. And Fabio really didn't think that she had understood, because nobody gets saved the first time they hear the gospel. Not where we work, anyway. Yeah, so he explained it all over again. And she said, yeah, I want to trust Christ as my Savior. And he thought, well, okay, you know, maybe she'll really understand it later. But she kept coming back to services. We gave her rides a lot of times, you know, back home. And she just, you know, kept coming. And so he remembered when she got saved, and then she was baptized and everything. And then we moved on to other works. So that's all that we knew. Well, she told Fabio, you know, after Camille's baptism, she said, Pastor Fabio, that night I got saved, I was going to take my life that day. And I had gotten everything ready for it. I'd visited my parents and my siblings, my children. I'd said my last goodbyes. I'd made a sign to hang up in the window of my home. And then a friend of mine, Bantha, called me that afternoon and invited me to go to a Bible study, because Bantha was, you know, from the city next door, Kampubom, but we were doing these Bible studies in Neuza's city, Sapiranga. And Bantha called and she invited me to this Bible study, and I said no. And Bantha called and she insisted that I go. She said it would be good for me. And I still said no. But then I thought, poor Bantha, going to a Bible study by herself with those three boys, I'll go along to help her with the kids. And she said, I went and you were preaching the book of John, and it was exactly what I needed. And I was going to take my life that day, but God saved me instead. Isn't that neat? We didn't know that. We had remembered when she started coming and everything, but we didn't know that backstory. And we tell all this why? Just to challenge you to see how God works in bringing someone to Christ. You know, we were there, he was preaching, but what about that couple, Milton and Liani, who for 2 years opened their home, you know, every 2 weeks and then on a weekly basis to have Bible studies? What about the other believers in that city who attended those Bible studies because they wanted to see a church in their own city? What about her friend Bantha, who invited her and insisted that she come? You know, what about all the people who gave Neuza rides over the years, and then the people who discipled her afterwards, who were probably our colleagues, Ellie and Katie, probably were involved in her discipleship, you know? Yeah, Paulinho, who would play guitar, you know, do this. Yeah. And so it's not just one person. You know, for someone to get saved, it takes a whole community. It takes everyone doing their part. And what's the next picture there? Okay, and so just another story here. So Bantha, the gal who had three boys, you know, she participated in our church there for like a year. And you can see one of her sons there. So I was the kids teacher, and Leo was 12 years old at the time. Bantha moved away to the state north of us, and there was no church in her city. So other missionaries up there in Santa Catarina would drive, you know, an hour every couple weeks to have a Bible study in Bantha City. They still don't have a good, you know, Bible teaching, Bible preaching church there that I know of. But they continued faithful. And her son, Leo Leonard, he's now like 20-something years old, and he feels the call to ministry. And he's back in our area now, attending the church in Sapiranga and being trained to become a pastor. And so he was part of the teacher training that we did last year. And so again, you don't know how far reaching your ministry can be. Like, you're teaching kids. You don't know when you teach the kids, when you're serving a lady's tea, when you just invite someone to come, you don't know how God can use that to reach someone for Christ, how just a simple posting a verse or something on Facebook might be able to reach someone someday. So God uses all of us, you know, each of us doing our part in serving him. Yeah, so God used Milton and Leah in the opening their home, Bantha inviting her, all those believers who attended there, and, you know, the missionaries doing their part teaching. But we just want you to be encouraged with this, how each of us, God uses all of us in his work, and he, it's not that he needs us, but he gives us the privilege of participating in his work. And so we had Neoza come to one of our game nights a few months back, and we had her give her testimony. Instead of him preaching, we had a living, you know, testimony there. So we're just thrilled to see Neoza growing and involved there at the Sapiranga Church, and she's working to reach her kids and her grandkids and her siblings for the Lord. So she's the first believer in her family. And so with all this that we shared, we just wanted to remind you of 1 Corinthians 3:5-9, who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planted anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. We are laborers together with God. We're God's field, we're God's building. And so just to remind you, it really doesn't matter. You know, if you're the one who leads someone to the Lord, if you're the one who just gave the invitation, if you're the one just serving behind the scenes, or if someone gets saved and then they move away and they're not going to be a part of your church, that's not the point. And so the point is that we're all doing our part to serve God and to help bring people to the Lord.
You are important. God saved you for an objective?
Yeah, for a purpose.
Purpose. If you invite in people, if you sing, if you pray, if you think about algumas coisas para a igreja, para fazer algum trabalho na igreja.
Yeah, some plans for things that the church can do, you know, outreaches that the church can have.
God use you for his plan. You are important. Remember that. Remember.
So just to finish up our time here. We want to present a project that we have, a construction project. And so you saw those pictures of the church services that have been 2 years in our living room and how we're kind of running out of space. And so we have a project to expand our garage. It's not called a remodel on our garage. So our garage is open on two sides. So we would, you know, knock down the walls that are there, make it bigger. It would fit 50 to 60 people, add a bathroom. And this is because
we have four seasons, like here.
Yeah, so we do get cold there. And so we can only, you know, have our kids club in the garage, for example, when it's summer. Other than that, we meet in our living room. And it's getting tight. And so we even do game time. Imagine, you know, like an Awana game time in your living room. And so we need more space. So one of our needs is more space. Another need is more visibility. And so, like, we don't have a sign up on the street saying Lagos Baptist Church because it is our home. We can't just leave the gate open. You know, you probably know all homes in Brazil have walls around them. They're gated. You can't just leave the gate open for people to walk in off the street. That's dangerous. If it were our garage, we would be able to, you know, leave the gate open, put up a sign so that we would have more visibility. So this is what the garage looks like now. We would take it all the way out to the wall. So there's kind of what it is now. And this is the size it would be afterwards, put in a bathroom. So again, fit 50 to 60 people. We would like to do an upstairs as well, which would be a classroom.
We think rent.
We thought, well, we could rent a space, but rent is really expensive, and we don't have enough believers contributing with tithes and offerings. We joke that also the last part of a person to convert is their wallet, and so that's another really tough thing when you're a missionary to work on that with people, especially when you're in a culture where there's a lot of prosperity gospel churches, and that aren't very honest, and so it's a subject we have to be very careful with in discipling people. But for this project, it would be about $23,000 for just the first level. If we do an upstairs classroom, about $40,000. And praise the Lord, we've already had $26,000 in offerings come in. And so we're excited that when we get back to Brazil, we'll be able to at least do that first floor. And just pray with us. We're not construction people. We don't know much about it. But we're excited for this next step we want to take. Why are we thinking of this? Do we have another? Okay, why are we thinking of just remodeling our garage? Because if we were to actually buy land, you know, put up an actual church building, we'd be looking at close to $300,000. And so we feel that the next step would just be a larger meeting place for now, but until more people get saved. Unless anybody here has, you know, $300,000 to give and for us to put up, you know, a real church building, this is the next step. So pray for us that we would be able to do this project and have more visibility and more space for the community to come. So just pray for us, our family, you know, unity, spiritual growth, homeschooling our kids, our support, the church plant in San Leopoldo, salvation of more people, growth of those who are there. All those, you know, unsafe contacts that we talked about, and this construction project.
We're open for asking.
Yeah, so can we open up for some questions? I guess I don't know what time it is, but if we've got time. So any questions about what we shared?
Yeah. I can't even imagine what your life is like.
Yeah. Pray for us. Pray for home. If anybody wants to come down and homeschool my kids, you know, or come down and work, you know, take over the children's and youth ministries in our work, so we could use more help. But definitely, it is a real challenge. You know, spending all Sunday cleaning to have the church service, and then it just takes a few days for you to recover your house after that. And so homeschooling has been really tough. It has been. So just pray for us. That would be another like bonus of having the garage for the meeting place, so that we could kind of recuperate our home, you know, just for family, and not have to put away all of the homeschool stuff, you know, every week for services. It would be helpful. So. We do. God gives us time. Yes. He does, yeah.
How can I say, a gente arruma tempo?
We find time for what you want, yeah.
It's hard, but today it's our vacation.
This is our vacation year.
4 years.
Oh, yeah, so we just want to thank you, too. His dream has always been to see Mount Rushmore. And so when the team came down to Brazil last year, we commented, oh, we'd love to go to the Black Hills. And they said, we've got a place for you to stay. And so we thank you for letting us stay in your guest house here and allowing us to just kind of sightsee as a family. It's been wonderful.
But we are happy, you know. It's a lot of work, a lot of limited, but I know God knows, Deus quer que a gente esteja ali, estamos felizes.
God wants us to be there, and it's been a challenge, and most people say, get the church out of your house as soon as you can, you know. Anybody who's ever done it before realizes the challenges that brings, but it's what we have for now.
Yeah. One little problem, because we alone.
Yeah. You know? If there was another couple with us, like, you know, even coming to the States for a furlough or traveling, it's always like, who's going to take over the work while we're gone?
Aaron, so. Work and the hangout.
Yeah, Aaron,
is a lot of work.
The single gal who works with us, her ministry is the university students, is the hangout, and which is extremely important. But we could use, you know, more people helping us with the teaching, that's discipling awesome. Yeah. Part too.
And God.
Any other questions? So, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Brick. brick, concrete, tile roof. So like a wood structure to hold up the tile roof. It's different. It's different in Brazil. Definitely different than here in the States. But if you guys do that kind of stuff, We can talk about it. We can. So we're a little bit daunted by it. Any of you who do construction, you probably know it's easier to put something up from zero than to try to remodel something that's already there. You know, so we have to knock down walls that are there. You know, put in what do you call it, like a larger beam, so that we don't have to have a pillar in the middle of what will be the auditorium. You know, so I don't understand much about it, but this is what I've been told. So yes. Yes, yeah. Well, we don't have insulation there, but totally closed in so that we could have like an air conditioner that works for hot or cold. Yes, we would do that.
It's so
we don't actually get like snow, but we do get down to, you know, like 40 degrees, 35. You're like, oh, 40 degrees, that's nothing. But it is when it's that temperature outside and inside. Okay, so it's different than here where homes are insulated. You really feel the cold down there. So I know you guys think that 40 degrees we're wimps, but it really is colder than you feel here. So
what's, yeah, 40 degrees?
40 degrees would be like 5 grados. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyone else? Yeah. Okay, do we have pictures of the floods? Have you guys heard about the severe flooding in South Brazil?
What is it?
As in changes.
Oh,
as in,
yes,
okay.
Yes.
All right. So we did include some pictures here in case anybody asked. So
our
state, 90% of our state has been affected. This is the city of Canoas, which is 20 minutes away from us. These might be images. So the entire state was affected. We're talking over 600,000 people had to leave their homes. Our capital of Port, this is the capital of Porto Alegre, where whoever went down there, you guys flew into Porto Alegre probably. The airport is underwater. The airport will not open again until September at the earliest, possibly not until December. And so this is a major calamity. The entire state has declared calamity. A gal, and this is our city, so the gal, this is her building. She's actually living in our home. We're not there right now, so her family is living in our home while we're gone.
People said maybe the building.
Yeah, everyone's worried about the buildings that have been underwater for a month, if they'll be structurally safe when this is all over. And so we're talking major, major difficulties there. More pictures here. Another gal from our church, this is her home. Those are several different homes, you know, very small houses, but the entire first floor flooded. So imagine losing everything that you have, stove, fridge, TV, you know, beds. So the Estancia Velha church, during 3 weeks straight, every single day they made 50 plates of food to take to a shelter where people could pick up supplies. So the Estancia Velha church got involved in that way. Other churches, there are two churches in our area, I mean from our Fellowship of Baptist Churches, that actually sheltered people, received people, and have been feeding them every day. They've been sleeping at the church. Claudia from the Estancia Velha Church put together, you know, hygiene kits and went out and bought clothes for people because people left their homes running with just the clothes on their backs. There were hundreds of people in our city just living on the interstate. Like, the interstate is a little bit higher up, and so they just left home. They parked their cars on the interstate, and the entire neighborhoods on both sides flooded. And so they were just like, they're going. There are some people who stayed in the second floors of their homes because they didn't want to leave, and there's just people going back and forth by boat every day taking supplies to people. But no electricity, no water. And so we've been passing on offerings to Claudia, who put together these hygiene kits. Canoas is still underwater, and so now it's just like videos and videos. People are starting to go back to their homes and seeing the destruction that has taken place, and so we're talking billions and billions of dollars. And so, like, on a personal level, a lot of churches in Brazil have been giving offerings to help people, you know. At first, it was just keep people alive, and then now it's rebuild their homes. But it was over 100 bridges washed out in the state. It was parts of interstates totally washed out. Cities were isolated from each other. We're talking hospitals, the airport, and so the government is going to have to come in with billions of dollars worth of money just for the infrastructure. So pray that the money will get to where it needs to go. There's a lot of corruption in Brazil, and pray that people just, especially, you know, first and foremost, hear the gospel throughout this. So again, a lot of people who had never stepped foot in a church, and they're being sheltered in a church now. And the largest number of people, you know, donating and taking care of people during this time have been the believers and have been the churches. And so this is a real opportunity for the churches to be a light and for the gospel to go forward. So pray that that will happen. And our home was not affected. 70% of our city was flooded, and people had to leave their homes, but we're in a neighborhood farther away from the river, so our home was not affected. Yeah.
Ellie Dreesing is the last yes. prayer letter I just posted.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was Ellie's, or maybe it was John. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
At the bottom, there's a link to BGFM.
Yes, a disaster fund for the flooding.
If you want to give, you can get the link.
Yes, if you want to give specifically to people who suffered because of the flooding, our missionaries in the area there will be passing that out. So the churches are putting together crews that are going out, you know, every day or at least on the weekends to help people clean their homes and rebuild. Okay, any other questions? Thank you again so much for the opportunity to be here. We'll be here if you have any more. Our table's out there. Grab a prayer card, and thank you for the opportunity.